I mean, this percentage could still, I mean, the rate of hunger, I mean, the rate of requests of from IE6 and lower users and other users, it may still hold. And this is what we are very worried about, and this is what we're trying to deal with. And so as you can see, I mean, we have very serious issues that we have been dealing with, and that is why we have not been able to apply for an ID and TLD so far. Well, future plans, we have been cooperating. There has been extensive cooperation among the local internet community in terms of KISA, the ISPs, the registrars, the users, the registrants, experts, IP, and the Korean Communications Commission at the KCC, and they're very heavily involved in the KINNF, and they have been involved in the IDN Advisory Committee, and we are still cooperating, and there is going to be continued cooperation, and so we hope to apply, get most of these issues resolved, and we hope to apply for fast track during the second quarter of this year, and finalize. During this year, we are trying to finalize the registration policy within KINNF with regard to the reserved and blocked names, sunrise policy, registration fees, and dispute resolution. Now, once we have this resolved, we also have to go through an additional legal process because Korea has an internet names legislature that says that we need to acquire government approval for internet domain names. And so it has to go through the Internet Names Policy Evaluation Committee. Actually, I'm a member of that. I actually have been involved in the IDN Advisory Group as well as in the KINNF, and I'm also involved in the Evaluation Committee. And then the KCC has to finally approve it. And we hope to begin registration in 2011, which is next year. Thank you.
Thanks, Youngham. Any questions? No questions. All right. Youngham, thank you very much. We're going to move on to our next topic now, which is the CCNSO review. Now, we've got two things happening. We're going to have a presentation from the gentleman from ITEMS. If you'd like to join me, Hervé and Tom, that would be great. And I believe that Jean-Jacques and Marco should be joining us shortly to brief us on the progress of the CCNSO review. But as a starting point,
good morning. My name is Hervé Ranou. I represent, I run ITEMS International, which is a consulting company based in Paris, and we carry out different study in France and different part of the world. We carry out some audits too of. Okay.
So we want to do that as much as possible in sync.
On a, pardon.
Ouais.
But it's not a problem because it's my purpose is just an introduction before. Okay, and we can have the different audits in information technology sector. And that's the reason I think we have been chosen by ICANN to run the CCNSO survey. Okay, now I need the slides. Okay. Just a point on the process. We have started the survey last November, and now we are quite in the middle of the survey, and we are supposed to deliver first report in around 1-2 weeks. And this meeting is important for us because after the survey online, it's the occasion to meet the maximum of people and to discuss about their own feeling about what they think about CCNSO strategy, bylaws, operation, and something like that. So I remind you the aims of the review. It's first to establish how effectively the CCNSO functions within the broader ICANN system, and to determine whether any change in its structure or operation is desirable to improve in its effectiveness. So we have. We have focused our part of our energy to get the maximum of response because it's important for us to have a legitimate assessment. And up to now, we have 85 response. We would be delighted if some. How you could respond, and because it's online and the survey is open, and we will continue to trade all the answers we will receive in the future. So we have received 59 response for CCTLD manager, and the other are. Come from manager director, CCNSO council member, and so on. And we have had direct contact with some key people, and specifically in regional organizations. So we are going to present now the result with the terms, the result of the survey. And but it's just important to say the survey is a part of our assessment. What is important to us is for the assessment and the other side really to understand what people think and of CCNSO and to understand really the results of what the CCNSO is doing.
Yeah, I think it's important really just to emphasize that last point. That this, what we're presenting today, is really just interim findings. This is just one, what we have conducted between mid-January and mid-February is a survey of CCTLD managers. And this is just one prong of a multi-pronged approach to... A multi-pronged approach. to making an assessment of how well the CCNSO is seen to be functioning within the broader ICANN system. So please do bear that in mind. What I'm about to present are not conclusions. They are the findings of the survey. And obviously the other prongs include the meetings that we are going to be having, and we have been having this week, with the representatives of the GAC and the other supporting and advisory committees within the ICANN system. And so it's with the complete picture that we'll be formulating our recommendations in June. So this slide here just shows you the kind of response that we've had, and in fact, the figures have slightly changed. They've gone up. We now have about 51, 51, I think, or 52 responses from actual members, which is, as far as we're concerned, quite a good response rate. That's more than 52% exactly of the membership of the CCNSO. So we think that's a highly significant response rate from them. And we also have a very, what we consider is a fairly significant response rate from non-members as well. You can see we had 20 responses there, which are corresponding to 29%. And there you have a list of who has responded. So here, if you can see your name, thank you very much for taking the time to take part. If you don't see your name there, or the name of your country, what are you waiting for? We would like to hear from you, and if you can respond before the end of this conference, so much the better.
Tom, sorry, I don't see our name, and I have responded.
I know, I was going to talk to you about this, because...
So I can quite happily do it again, although I can't guarantee that my answers will be the same, because I can't actually remember what I said, but I have to say that is slightly concerning if I have responded and others... I'm not saying... I mean, obviously the other...
And in fact, follow-up emails to other organizations as well, Centre and LAC TLD and AFTLD to... Oh, I'll show you, actually. I've got a link to... Yeah, it's still online. But I think, I mean, obviously this is of concern. I mean, we set it up so that it was a very simple process for... what we hoped was a very simple process for inputting information... and submitting at the end. So obviously you needed to click the submit button, but that...
Yes, I've done that before.
And then you do at the end get a confirmation saying that you have submitted the information.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not waste any time.
Okay. The only kind of key to this particular list of countries is that you can see... There, the CC, just NSO members, you can see the non-members in red, and you can see those that identified themselves. It might not be an actually accurate list, but it's those who identified themselves as members of the CCNSO and also council members.
Yes, in the list of CCTLDs appear Colombia like a non-member, and Colombia is member of CCNSO. Maybe when take the survey, but you need to put in the list of members.
Okay. No, this is, these kind of points are very important. What we are presenting here is actually what people have reported to us. This table is... an actual representation of what we have received. And obviously, it could be corrected. And actually, in all information collecting exercises, there are errors. But sometimes, we have to admit that maybe we make errors ourselves. But in some cases, people do not fill in relevant boxes. They do not click relevant boxes. For example, stating that they are a member of the CCNSO, which kind of... So we have to sort of go and double-check afterwards.
Can I just say, Colombia joined quite recently, so they probably filled this in before they joined.
Ah, okay. Well, there you go.
So, Tom, just so that we don't spend the rest of this time with people questioning stuff, my understanding is that all this stuff will be checked, so yes. We don't have to worry about it. It'll all be sorted out. So that's fine. Just...
Okay, well, so now simply what I'm going to do is that what we have, we are, and we will be conducting this review according to a set of questions, 13 questions that were, well, actually specified for us by us, for us by ICANN at the beginning of the process. These questions are framed at the top of the slide, and I'll just run through them quickly. So the first question was, has the CCNSO been effective in achieving its three objectives as defined in Article 9 of ICANN's bylaws? And you can see here that there is just a very clear expression of satisfaction with this in relation to the development and recommendation to the ICANN board of global policies relating to the country code top-level domains. So there you have a total of, what, 68% of people saying that they are either reasonably or very satisfied.
Sorry, Tom, there's a question, not a correction. Because, of course, it's actually 100% of people who are totally satisfied. Will we be able to know at some point the breakup of members and non-members who think that?
Right, yes. Okay. Yes. As I say, I mean, you know, our report is going to break down what members are saying, what non-members are saying, what members of the GAC are saying, but it would take us all day to present findings of that sort of that detail at this stage. So the second part of that first question was, so it's nurturing consensus across the CCNSO's community, including name-related activities of the CCTLDs. There, again, you have a very high satisfaction rate of, what, 64%. And finally, the development and recommendation to the ICANN Board of Global Policies relating to the country code top-level domains. People's satisfaction, again, 68%, either very or reasonably or very satisfied with how the CCNSO is functioning. Oops. So here we have coordinating with other ICANN-supporting organizations, advisory committees, and other constituencies under ICANN. I mean, basically, you can see exactly the same pattern every time. A high satisfaction rate with a few people who either think that it's not very effective at all, which is a very small minority usually. Now, the second question we are going to be looking into is, what internal or external elements, if any, prevented the full achievement of the CCNSO's objectives? And there you have a breakdown with the complexity of the policy development process, which a lot of people think identify as a real kind of difficulty, the protracted negotiations. It's 50% there. Effective communication about the mandate of the CCNSO is 42%. I think that was a problem, an obstacle. Limited access to information in other languages apart from English is still identified by 33% as a block. And difficulty reaching consensus regarding the development of policies for the global CCTLD community, 48% again. Question three, what general or specific measures could be imagined to enhance the effectiveness of the CCNSO? This was not a multiple choice type question, so what we have done here is just synthesized or drawn out what people were tending to say. And so you have need for better, more readily available information about the precise purpose and function of the CCNSO. That's sort of just simply communication about what the CCNSO is. Does it have a mission statement? This kind of thing. Measures taken to improve the planning for meetings. Availability of information in other languages apart from English. A greater level of interaction needed between CCNSO and the other supporting organizations within the ICANN system. Again, the complexity and protracted implementation of the PDP mechanism is a problem.
Can I stop you with a question? I'm not quite clear. I'm
slightly confused. If one of
Can we mention microphones? Would that be possible? If one of the highly rated on the survey, reasonably effective, was the cooperation between the CCNSO and the other sporting organisations, then This also appears here as a measure that can be taken to better enhance the effects of the CCNSO. I don't understand the correlation. If over the vast majority of people think that the cooperation between the other supporting organisations and the CCNSO is effective or very effective,
yeah,
then that presumably means that this appears on here as a specific measure because the people who weren't satisfied put it on. Is that basically correct?
Well, I think what we have found is that we have to be very careful about how we, and we will be very careful about how we present this information, because there are many people who, for example, may be satisfied with one particular aspect of how the CCNSO is functioning, and they will express that. And then what we have is a second sort of layer of information that's coming in. It's when people are commenting in writing. Now, the thing to say about the comments in writing is that they are useful, of course, because, well, but they tend to be quite critical, and we're perfectly aware, and don't worry, that we are perfectly aware that when people answer in writing, it's usually because they've got some sort of bee in their bonnet about something. So so we're going to balance that, not to sort of give you the impression that actually people are very unsatisfied with the way it's working. But I think the reason why we're presenting it here is, well, congratulatory sort of news is good. It's interesting for you, but in some ways the criticism is also useful. Hello. And then, so just to get to the end of this list, a more systematic use perhaps of internet-based tools as an alternative or perhaps a complement to actual meetings. I know these tools already exist, but there are some highly, very powerful systems in place now to help in the formation of groups, thinking about different issues, whether these be sort of, you know, language issues, script issues, you name it. This might be something that you could think about. Now, here we go, a simple multiple choice question. Overall, were the initiatives carried out by the CCNSO since its establishment consistent with its mandate as defined in the bylaws? So there you have a very clear yes. This is a membership question. This is only the membership who answered here. You have a very clear yes, 81%. Overall, were the initiatives carried out by the CCNSO since its establishment consistent? So that's the same question, and it's the responses you get, the written responses you get. So perhaps more critical, certainly more critical. And you see that what they say, what the people highlight, is the CCNSO is too caught up in political matters and not focused enough on technical and a technical understanding or a practical attitude towards the DNS. Although the organization has evolved, there is still no clear understanding of how it fits in with other SOs and ACs, nor what its objectives are. And the CCNS scope, as defined by its bylaws, is too often exceeded. And then finally, the CCNSO is perceived by some to be lacking in, still, in some cases, to be lacking in independence. I'll run through them. I've got about another six. But I'll go through them quickly. Okay, so what are the CCNSO's members' understanding of the mandate of the CCNSO? So here you have a very clear 96% of respondents indicate that they have a good or fairly good understanding of the mandate of the CCNSO. But this does contrast, it seems there's a sort of disconnect between people who say that they have a very good understanding of the mandate of the CCNSO, but then what they go along to identify as the main reasons or the sort of value they perceive in their membership. They highlight things like networking opportunities, having a voice within the broader ICANN system, and the exchange of best practices. So there's clearly value in the CCNSO, but it's, you know, it's...
But those are consistent with the
bylaws.
They might be using different words, but they're actually consistent.
Okay, good. what are the understandings of the other SOs? There's not really enough information here. We'll be answering this question during, or we'll be seeking answers to this question during this meeting. Let's go on to seven. Does the CCNSO have a continuing purpose within the ICANN structure? Well, there you go. The answers speak for themselves. 78% yes, 15% no. So salient issues among the majority think that it does. What the CCNSO has achieved in terms of pushing forward the agenda on IDN, CCTLDs, DNS security awareness, etc. There you go. And, oh yes, that was important, a mechanism for giving CCTLDs really a voice within the ICANN system. And But there's the salient issues among the small minority who think that there is no future for the organisation. The CCNSO is still perceived by some to be deaf to the concerns of smaller CCTLDs, no renewal or slow or no renewal at the management level. It's bureaucratic, costly, and relatively little to show for itself. As I say, I mean, this is not information that this is stuff that's coming out of the survey, though. Does the rationale for the CCNSO, as spelled out in the bylaws, need to be revised, and in which sense? So there you go, 82% think that the rationale remains an accurate definition and for the purpose and function of the CCNSO. However, there you see that breakdown of 33% still thinks that there is no need for change in the function and operations. So that's still the largest group there. 29% there is a need for some change, and 19% think there is really a need for profound change. There we are, we're getting through. Does the CCNSO operate in an accountable and transparent way? Are there any changes to the CCNSO's ways of operating that might enhance its accountability and transparency? So, really, no problem. 79% think that it does operate in a transparent and accountable way. 21% that it doesn't. And then in the written responses, you get a kind of inverse... Not exactly inverse, but you have 15% who just say, really, well, it's absolutely fine. But you have 75% who, without being critical, think that, there's room for improvement. Okay, we're nearly through. Are the CCNSO's internal working mechanisms suitable and sufficient to guide all aspects of its present work? The basic thing to say here is that people... say that they're satisfied. I mean, when you give them a yes-no type question, they say that, yes, they're satisfied with the PDP. But then when you give in the written responses, they're really in two minds about it. They think it's long and slow and, you know, difficult.
Tom, what would be really useful, I think, is if we could know in the final, yeah, I think, version of this, the percentage of those who'd answered the yes-no... the percentage of those who actually provided a written response.
Yes.
Because might only get one person providing a written response, so it would be useful to know that of the 37 people that ticked yes, no, two provided a written response.
Sure, okay? Sure. You can tell you're an expert in these things, but we will do that. So just really to finish on this thing, when comparing the two sort of systems that you've got for policy development, there was a clear sort of sense that people favour the working group method model. Now, two more slides and that's it, we're done. Including this one. What mechanisms can be envisaged to further support the efforts of the CCNSO to enlarge its membership to further existing and future CCTLDs? Where this information is coming from, the section of the questionnaire that this is coming from, the information here is coming from, is our non-members of the CCNSO, that quite important group of non-members who responded, saying that, well, you know, we don't really understand what it's for. And so they claim a lack of communication. There's a need for a more systematic translation of documents into several languages. Some people claimed that there needs to be a more equitable regional representation on the council, and that there should be a limit to the number of terms for CCNSO council members. And again, there's this question of a tool, some sort of more powerful tool for the constant exchange of information. Okay, so the final two questions. As you can see, we haven't really collected information from the survey that's relevant to these actual questions, so we'll be informing these with the interviews and other aspects of our review. And finally, that's the link to our questionnaire if you have not yet participated. And that's
Thank
it,
you
folks.
Very much. Gabby, could you email the link out to all the lists again and just say, look, if you haven't already... actually, what would be really good is if we sent out the slide with the list of countries on it and said, as far as we're aware, these people have responded. If you have responded and your name is not on this slide, then you need to do it again.
Yeah.
Okay? Excellent. Do we have any comments or questions, Roloff? Gabby, do we have a microphone?
Thank you. Roloff Meijer from .nl. A remark and a question. The remark first. I received the link for the questionnaire from a Gmail account, and that's normally considered a suspicious resource or a suspicious source. So we went into verifying if this email actually came from the organization that was doing the review. So my recommendation would be to use another account for this kind of an email than a Gmail account.
Well, actually, there's something to say about that. Is that what you received was prior to the start of the survey, sent out, because what we found that we needed, one problem we had, was checking people's email addresses, the accuracy of people's email addresses. Now, this turned out to be a real problem. About 20% of the information that we got was not being received, and we received an unbelievable number of mailer demons and things like this saying that. So what we had to do, basically, is we had to send out an email checking your email addresses. That email there was sent out from it was called a ccnsoican@gmail.com, simply because it's a very good mechanism for getting a quick response. The actual survey was not a Gmail account at all. It was the entire survey...
Tom, I'm conscious that we're running out of time.
Okay.
And that was only a comment, not a question. Okay.
To wrap that up, it was not a Gmail.
In general, my recommendation would be not to use a Gmail account for anything if it's for professional activities.
Okay, all right.
Good point.
Okay. The second one, I might be confusing this with another survey, but... Did you have a system to verify that the response was actually coming from the party that was indicating who they were? I seem to remember that I just had to fill in, no, I'm .nl. Yes, I'm dot. So the applicant or the party responding to the survey, I had to fill in myself who it was, and I seem to remember that there was no system of verification. Is that correct? Or am I mistaken?
Well, we had to identify where surveys were where responses were coming from, and so we had you had a name field, you had a country field.
Okay. I'll clarify my question.
Okay.
Is it not true that it was possible to fill in the survey on behalf of somebody else by just filling false data?
Well, we tried to evacuate that problem by only sending the link to people who were identified as respondents.
Can I please, guys? Sorry, I understand this is an important discussion, and we need, but not right now because we have on. We're running out of time, and Jean-Jacques needs to talk to us. Tom, Hervé, thank you very much. Stay there; don't go anywhere, and we'll get back to that later on. So, Marco, Jean-Jacques, over to you.
Thank you, Chris. Can you hear me? I don't know how good the mics are here, or my voice. Terrible. Must I eat the mic then? Is that any better? Good. I'll try to train for this. So, I don't know how much you have been told about this. I just want to recognize the presence in this hall of Demi Gechko, who is a member of the CCNSO review working group. And the other members, and I don't see them just now here, but I do make a point of giving their names again. Alejandro Pisanti, Demi Gechko I just named, Vittorio Bertola, and Ram Mohan, and myself, and I have the honor of being the chair of this working group. The staff members you do know. So, there are two or three things I'd like to point out to you at this stage as background material for you. The first is that when we were charged by the board and by the SIC to set up this working group and to set up its terms of reference, After that, I wanted to make very sure that this would have the widest geographical distribution as possible. We didn't want to have only responses from, let's say, Western Europe or Northern America. So we went to the trouble of verifying that the call for statement of interest from consulting firms would be known in other parts of the world. So I just want to signal that, but if you want details, Marco can give you a very good rundown on that, which is in itself quite interesting. The second thing, of course, is to point out that the survey which has just been presented to you by Tom McKenzie is just a survey. It's just one item, one element of the overall review process, of course, and it's not the review. It's preliminary material on which to work. The important thing, of course, is to have this validated by the community. And that's why we are also here today, in addition to all the other methods which will be used for the validation. And I think that in stating this, I want to underline the openness and the effort at transparency to which we are held. It's not a choice, we are held to that. And finally, I would like to point out that a timeline has been proposed. If you have any comments on the timeline, that too would be very interesting for us to know as a working group. I wanted to make my comments very short because I'm really looking forward to an exchange with you. And thank you very much for inviting us to your meeting.
Okay, so thank you, Jean-Jacques. Marco, did you need to say anything or are you're under control?
That's technology. I was looking for wires. Just a few words. Marco Lorenzoni, Director for Organizational Reviews in ICANN. Just two words on the timeline. Reviewers will deliver their final report by May, and the report will be presented, will be immediately published, of course, and then presented to the Brussels meeting. So working backwards, they started already their work from home. That's pretty a new structure for our reviews. Usually our reviews start at one ICANN meeting. We prefer to change the way we do usually reviews in order to allow reviewers to come here to conduct interviews with already having digested some preliminary and fundamental information about CCNSO, about the CCTLD world, in order them to target better their question to you. It is very important for them and for you to know that this occasion of meeting with the key inform stakeholders here in Nairobi is for them an occasion both of gathering further data, so investigating even more on the main elements of the terms of reference, and to somehow validate with you the preliminary findings from the review. That was just a brief, very brief precision.
Thanks, Marco. Are there any questions or comments? Mathieu, you had something. Gabby, could we organize the microphone, please? They're very possessive of it. Mathieu.
Thank you, Chris. Apologies for coming a little late into the presentation, but from what I gather, you've been especially focusing on the survey that's been conducted. But my question actually would rather be for Marco, I guess, or for the board members, but it's about the scope of the review. I think in the last, yesterday, for instance, a few concerns were raised within and from the outside of our community about some financial aspects, financial contributions, for instance. And I would like to know whether the scope of the review includes some financial aspects or whether this is outside of the scope.
Thanks. No, there is no specific remit on covering the financial aspects, but the reviewers are free to add further elements to their analysis if other further elements emerge during their work for the review. They are not supposed to issue recommendations on the financial aspect, but of course they are free and they are invited to raise and to underline any kind of further aspects, even going behind the terms of reference that could emerge from this phase.
Thank you. Do we have any other comments or questions at this stage? Okay. I would encourage you, if you have already arranged to have an interview with these guys, fine. If you haven't, then because I know they have nothing better to do than interview you all, I'd encourage you to go up to them and ask them to find some time to talk to you, because the more people that they talk to, the more information they get and the better the accuracy of the review will be. So I know that some of you already have arrangements or have already spoken to them, but you know, let them. If you haven't, please do so.
Thanks, Chris. I'd just like to make a general remark. It's that the purpose of this consultation and the prime objective of the, at this stage of the work, the prime objective of the review working group is, of course, to make sure that the questions which are put to the community are the right ones. It's better to have more questions than not enough, but I surely want to make sure that your concerns are reflected in the best possible way in the final review. So I would very strongly support what Chris has just recommended, is that you make sure to make your views known to the reviewers at this stage. Thanks.
Okay. On that, if we're done, on that, we're done. Excellent. So could you please join me in thanking the four people sitting in front of you right here. Okay, it's coffee time now. Coffee is still in the basement, is it? Gabby, do you know? Oh, there is coffee here. Okay, maybe. Okay. So if there isn't coffee